so that we'll be able to continue this meeting. But due to unforeseen circumstances with the parliamentary program, we were unable to go there. We thought this week with the committee week whereby we'll be able to go into oversight to provinces, but we couldn't. So thanks for your coming for the second time. Hoping when we'll be scrutinizing your budget and financial expenses, we'll exclude this coming to Cape Town for the second time. But anyway, you are here at work. On my slate here, under apologies, we've received an apology from Honorable Bonkome. He's still hospitalized. I think she's awaiting to be an operation to be done on his knee. Ubaba Mabunda, because he's an alternate, his committee at Central Culture today. Mambi Tetelo attending some political issues. Rather, the apology last week already. Those are the three apologies that I've received. Members, you are welcome. Let's give over the opportunity to Chairperson CRL to introduce the team and then get into the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. I want to greet you all and say how thankful we are to have this opportunity to come and meet again. And Chairperson, I would like it to be noted how much we appreciate the fact that we need to account for what we do. It's something that is extremely important, as it is at the face of our democracy in terms of our service delivery. And so we appreciate that, and we appreciate those comments that we will receive. I just want to introduce the Deputy Chairperson, Mrs. Julia Mabale, and then introduce the CEO, who is well known to you, and then introduce the CFO, Mr. Cornelia Smart. He's our CFO, and we just thought that you might need to have more details on certain issues which we might not be able to. Chairperson, I did make some comments the first time, but maybe just to again say that, just to make the committee aware that we are not just the commission with the longest name, but also the commission with as many commissioners. I don't think there is a commission with so many commissioners. That would be a challenge, Chairperson. The only challenge we have about the commissioners is that they are not really provincially aligned. That's the first point. They were taken because you have your culture, you have your religion, and you have your linguistics. So it's a very convoluted commission where you have to try and make do with three most important mandates, but that are very high in the country. And so we are still awaiting the approach of the Office of the Institute Supporting Democracy, where there is an advocate, Kajwayo, who was looking at the review report on Chapter 9 institutions, where they had suggested that we needed to look at the number of our commissioners. But more than that, Chairperson, the fact that we have no presence, official presence in provinces. In other words, we have to always make do with better work and so forth. So from that angle, I think it's still work in progress. And we would really ask for your input in the process. We don't expect this input today, as we have had this challenge today. Then, to go just very briefly to say, the CRL Commission, the COCTA, or traditional affairs through COCTA, moral regeneration movement, and UNISA and Ubuntu Center are organizing an Ubuntu conference, which will be on the 28th, 29th, and 30th of November at UNISA. And the purpose of this is we have not collated a material on Ubuntu. That's first one, point number one. Point number two, we'd like to open an academy together as a group on what is Ubuntu actually and how can it be used, rather than just everybody of our concern is that everybody is talking about Ubuntu, but nobody really, it's like a togolosh in a way, because you talk about togolosh, but you can't point it out. So we thought, let's come down. And the other reason for that is we're looking at the ethical side of our country, and we stand aghast, Jefferson, as we see how our values of respect for elders, our values of intergenerational and living together are really sort of thrown to the ground in a way. And we feel perhaps from there we can be able to begin to challenge people on the basis of saying, please say what you want to say, but you can always say something with respect. People are not against what people are saying. And we've seen this, the fear that we have as a person when we look at this is that if you look from 1976 up to now, I think there's a sense in which the plot between elders and youth was lost. And somewhere along the line that needs to be found. Something very good came out of it, but at the same time there was a lot of damage in terms of the respect to the elders, which we need to look at. And I'm not in a way criticizing 1976, but I'm saying we need to also be very honest when we look at what has happened. And then what we've been crying about for a very, very long time, I think the committee will remember, we've been crying about funds for the National Consultative Conference, which disabled us from fulfilling the mandate, where within the first 2 years of our entrance, we should have had a national consultative conference in which a report back is given and in which a new mandate is received as to what needs to be done. But this was not possible because of serious financial constraints, and we were aware that we were in a department that was having competing requirements in terms of service delivery. And so for that reason it was not very possible for us. But fortunately for us, we did receive a little bit of a windfall when we received 11 million rand, as we said. And this has enabled us to do three things. One, it has enabled us now to plan for the National Consultative Conference, in which Chairperson, you will receive our invitation together with your delegation. That conference will be in February 14th to 17th. Chairperson?
I'm saying only about
the 20th. Yes, because we are a commission that deals with all these cultures, we thought that people will come with a very good experience. 14th to the 17th of February, and it will be held at St. George's Hotel in Centurion, because it's near the reason why it's going to be held there, Jefferson, was mainly financial and logistical. And the third thing that I would like us to say about that is that we felt that we could pair people. But on deep discussion, we came to the conclusion that within this day and age, it's no longer possible to pay people and assume that, you know, I think the committee understands what I'm talking about. And so we felt we will have to. So we've decided to have more hotels where we'll have 111, and therefore will, at the right time, Chairperson, send you the invitation, and it will be up to the commission to say which hotels we have booked. And that's going to assist us. I think that the rest, the most of what I could say is in our annual report, and it's written in black and white. So I just want to stop at that. Oh, I forgot the last thing to say. Because of the money, we were able to get more human power, which will therefore assist with the backlog. We have a huge backlog because we were not able to work. Now we've got human power. I think the CEO will be able to speak and so forth. But, Jefferson, this has been a long introduction, but I just thought it was important for me just to set the scene. Thank you,
Jefferson. I'll now give over to the CEO for the presentation. But my admin, while you're still scrolling, I just want to make some remarks on the dates that you're earmarking for the conference. Not necessarily for Valentine, it's due to the opening of Parliament those days. So we will check, maybe taking into consideration that you've extended prior invitation to the committee members. But we'll check the dates, whether I'm clashing with those dates from 14th to due to the opening of Parliament. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. If the Chairperson can also clear the issue of logistics of the location, the boat functions, I think they have been centralized around Joburg, and how the Johannesburg is not central to our country. So how does it reach the issue of it being logistically suitable? Thank you, Chair.
Maybe I think in his remarks, because he said because of funds, that's why they ended up opting to be in those hotels, especially St. George's. I think with some quotations on their logistics of it,
Chairperson, before Nkosi responds, could I just also add on what you said? Through you, Chairperson, we had a very, very long and arduous discussion, and work was done, people went around, we had to look at, compare prices and so forth, and we ended up this way. If, for instance, we were to then say, okay, go anywhere where you think is better, perhaps Bloemfontein would be better, but then we would then have to get a little bit, more, that would help us to go through. But there is a sense in which it is central, in the sense of airports. And when people come by bus and so forth. In that sense, it becomes central. And I thought I should say that. And before I finish, Jefferson, your point that you made, we have written to the president about the NCC. We have received an acknowledgement. We have not yet received a clear response, but we've received an acknowledgement. The Minister of COFTA has received our letter in which we've informed them. So I think between that there might be something that comes out of that, because we also have to go to open up Parliament, so it might create a bit of a problem, I suppose. Thank you.
Chair, maybe it's my naive understanding of the Commission's work. We're talking about culture, religion, and linguistics. And here you are touching on issues that involve traditional leaders, issues that involve traditional healers, issues that touch on African religious groups, most of which don't afford tickets and travel by bus. So the issue of centrality is really becoming questionable to me. And this is why I really like clarity on the matter, because I'm yet to see a traditional healer that can afford a ticket like to Johannesburg. Our traditional healers use buses and other modes of transport like trains. So how do we reach Johannesburg to be sent when beneficiaries that talk to this commission use other alternative transport.
Chairperson, the manner in which we organize this might not be the same way in which we are thinking around it. We have community councils, and each community council will have a representative. Traditional healers will have a representative. Where traditional healers say they need assistance, this is some of the things we mentioned, that assistance will be available. And we appreciate the concern that Ngosi is bringing up, but we've looked at all those things, and because each will have a rep, we have looked into that, and some of the money has been saved for that kind of traveling. It's not just the traditional leaders, even just ordinary people, for instance, people who will be coming from the Koyes Kwesan, for instance, people that will also need financial assistance and all that. But that is the response we can give to a person.
Thanks. Let's leave it at that. Maybe we'll discuss it further when having been received the briefing. Over to the CEO.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was of the opinion that I can also add on what the Chairperson, Reverend Dr. Mawiza, was saying, but as the Chairperson has ruled out, we will look at the matter at the next time. Thanks, Chairperson. I think it is very clear that when we organized this NCC, we looked at from all angles, and we at some stage we even sort of actually taking the NCC to Bloemfontein, and then later on just decided that maybe it must go to Eastern Cape and then Limpopo. But ultimately what we came up with is that when we looked at the logistics and everything, we realized that we were only left with Gauteng, and the NCC is not specifically in Johannesburg. It's between Pretoria and Johannesburg. It's around N1, R21 as you go to Pretoria. South Pretoria have or Tambo. So we have actually looked at everything. We went to an extent of sending people to all provinces, checking the venues, everything, and then we were left with the only option, which was the St. George. Also, we looked at the issue of cost, which is not only about getting the venues, also about the cost. There were other venues that were extremely expensive. So I want to say that we've got reports on that, because we knew that this matter might come up. We have got reports why we decided to have it around the Pretoria Johannesburg. Thank you, Chairperson. On my presentation, I have actually summarized what we have done the whole year. I'm starting with our finances here, and the lot of information is contained in our annual report that has been sent to members, and I believe the and that reason we just summarized everything. But if there is any question, we will gladly attend to that. We actually requested in the budget of 51 million. The intention why we were requesting a budget of 51 million was that we of the opinion that we will be able to open regional offices. We are aware that the people have been complaining that the commission is not visible, it's not accessible. So this problem has been going on. It's part of our audit queries as a matter of what we call a concern, a going concern. So, what I remember saying that the rural people do not access our services. We are of the opinion that if then we get the extra hand, you will be able to reopen regional offices whereby people will be able to visit the office as they wish. But instead, we received 22 million from National Treasury, and then that gives us, and then we expended 23 million in that financial year, and then it tells us that then we had a budget variance of 8 million, which means that's the difference between what we requested and what we got. But then in that financial year, we also had a deficit of 673,000 rand. And then we also got the other funding from, as indicated below, the interest accrued by our banking system. We also got 208,000 that requested from the COCTA. This was basically for the NCC that we had. We actually engaged COCTA and then spoke with them about having having a partnership on this issue, and then also looking at our finance. They came on board and then it gave us 228. And then we also had the resignation of some staff members, and then we were able to accumulate an amount of 82,000. And we also had the savings from the audit fee, which is 582,000 rands. So the total amount then added to the total budget that we had for that financial year. The mission of the commission and the mission, I think, is very clear that we intend to promote and protect the culture, religion, and language rights of our people in the country. The objectives there include, among others, to develop peace, friendship, humanity, tolerance, national unity among and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities on the basis of equity, non-discrimination, and free association. And also to foster mutual respect among cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. Also to promote the rights of communities in order to develop their historically diminished and diminishing heritage. Lastly, we also have to recommend the establishment, or it's recommended us to establish and recognize community councils. That's the ones that the chairperson was talking about, that when we go to have this NCC, most of the people that will be attending that conference are committee councils. If you are aware that in the past we didn't have committee councils, and it was very difficult for us to hold this kind of an event. But currently we've got a database of hundreds and hundreds of people who have registered in our database. That will be a pool where we'll be inviting for the NCC. The 2011-2012 expenditure is as follows. The employee cost was 30 million. The lease of the building was 2 million. Travel and assistance was 1 million. The audit fees were 900,000. Consultants and contracts was 600,000. Catering for events, 600,000 also. Communication and marketing, 500. Telecommunication cost, that is 500. Water and electricity was 500 also. Stationery and printing, 500. Other expenditure was 2 million. So as you look at the expenditure there, we have tried to cut only on salaries. In other ways, if you look at the percentage, there is 57%. 57% of the budget went to the salaries, and then it tells that the other percentage went to other operational and support services, unlike it used to be in the past. So we have actually tried to comply with national treasury regulations. We had a regular expenditure of 300,000, unlike in the previous year where we had a regular expenditure of around 2 million. We have actually worked very hard to ensure that we don't have a regular expenditure. It happened that we have this 300,000 that we had as a regular expenditure. And the reason for the, the honorable member asked what caused the regular expenditure, it was because of the declaration of interest by staff members. What is happening is that every year we try to climb a ladder, and then the auditor will always find something, because we were of the opinion that we have actually catered for everything. Because in the previous year, the regular expenditure that we had was because of the original tax clearance certificate. We didn't have original tax clearance certificate, but we had copies of tax clearance certificates. So this honorable member, honorable member, that the regular expenditure that we have is not because of we can say that we were doing our work. This is because we're trying to do our work, and then during the course of doing our work, then we had this kind of a regular expenditure. And the intention is that we will present this to the plenary, to because we spoke with the National Treasury, and then they are saying that this kind of amount, we just have to present them before the plenary, and then they have to condone this amount. And we also had a wasteful expenditure of 500 rand only, and this was because of the cars that we have. We had to renew the disc, and we were penalized because the cars were not, the disc were not renewed in time. So we, the previous year we had, I believe it was around 60,000, if I'm not wrong, wasteful expenditure, but then we have also reduced that. And that's our intention, honorable members, that we have a clean report. On operational matters, honorable members, we targeted to have 121 targets to be accomplished. We had 121 targets. That includes both operational and support targets. But out of those targets, then we were able to accomplish 86 of them, and that gives us a variance of 35. And the reason behind that was that, as the chairperson has actually indicated, that we were struggling with human resources and other other funding. And then the report on annual report is that I need, it's a pleasure, honorable chairperson, to inform this house that we have an unqualified report, though we with some matters that needed our attention. The auditors put more emphasis on our performance information. However, I've just put other things that as reflected on the document here, like asset management, and then the regular expenditure, the waste expenditure. That is, this we have actually sort of bringing them down, or actually dealing away with them. So we have a qualified report, but the intention is that we need to have a qualified report and unqualified report, which is clean, a clean report in our ways. That's what we are striving for. And as you check on a 5-year turnaround strategy, Chairperson, we have actually prepared ourselves to increase the pace of service delivery to the nation and promote the people, social cohesion, tolerance, and nation building, effective and efficient committee chances. We establish them. Develop strategies on the visibility and accessibility of the commission services, regardless of the fact that we don't have regional offices. We are striving to have our services accessible and the commission being visible. I believe we have realized and we have realized that the commission has, for the past few months, we were on the media on various projects that we were working on, like the issue of a possible amendment of the Public Holidays Act, and also the Rastafari report that we have just released. Now the question of the corporal punishment that at schools and at home, and we have now, currently we are busy with the issue of the dress code at work and at schools, whereby we have been receiving complaints that people are being dismissed, some are being penalized for coming to work wearing in a cultural or religious manner. So we, as currently as I'm talking, we will be visiting Free State tomorrow, actually conducting a fact finding on this issue. That's just one of the projects that I can mention that we are busy with. And then also we intend to handle more cultural leaders, complaints and linguistic complaints to align the commission to self-government priorities, also to implement the NCC, and also to achieve unqualified report without matter of emphasis, and amendment to the Federal Rights Commission Act, as we are aware that there are certain sections in the Act which are not very clear, which may also hamper our way. And that is the end of my presentation, Honorable Chair.
I think we have the annual report that you can refer to before they came to Parliament, because they are coming for the second track. I recognize them from that end of that day. Honourable Boyamo, Honourable Ian Hayes, and Honourable Nelson, Honourable Mosimane, Honourable Smith, Honourable Khalid Fred. That's it.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be
looking at the last last bite by the presenter, where he talks about receiving complaints that people come to school wearing traditional or cultural dresses or religious attire. Now, my question here is, what does cultural, religious, and or traditional attire have to do with schooling or education? Because clearly, when a child goes to school, must wear the school uniform, finish and plus. We don't have to entertain any other thing. The child must wear the dress code that the school has actually approved. And now, secondly, your expenditure is 23 million, and irregular. I'm sorry. Your requested budget is 51 million, and your budget variance is 28 million, but your deficit is 673. Now, the question here is, why would you request 51 million when you can't spend it? And secondly, why do you have a deficit when you did not spend more than what your budget is? I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I've got a few points which I'd like to address this morning. I don't have a copy of the annual report. Unfortunately, it's not on the Commission's website either, so it's not accessible. But I just wanted to ask, connecting with the outputs that were recorded in the performance plan for the department, it said that the CRL Rights Commission plans to investigate A, 390 cases, develop and publish 63 research reports, host 420 dialogues and roundtable discussions, and roll out the community council. Could I just get an understanding of how many of those targets were reached, which of those targets were not reached, and if so, what the shortfall was? Chairperson, I must say, if I looked at any of the objectives that the department, that the organisation, the commission has set for itself, the things are very noble intentions. But what I don't see in the presentation today is how the department intends, how the commission intends to achieve this. Obviously, we would like to see more quarterly reports, etc., quarterly targets, which we're able to hold the commission accountable. And the commission spends about 57% and 6% on itself before it even rolls out programs and projects. And so, clicking on your website to look at the programs that have been undertaken, the honor programs, unless my machine is not working this morning, when you click on the programs budget, try and get a feel for the type of programs you're rolling out at a community level, they're not listed on your website. And so if I could just get an understanding of the types of programs that are being rolled out in the community. The CEO spoke about the coverage that was received. I also, again, clicking on the website, there's only two news items on the website, and they both relate to the Islamophobic killing that took place, I think, in the Northwest. And can I just find out from the Commission what on-the-ground interventions were implemented there, because the chairperson of the Commission was extensively quoted in a BBC article on the website, and I just like to understand what interventions were done on the ground there, because obviously, there was a prime example for the Commission to intervene at ground level and run some sort of education or reconciliation program within that community. Chair, I must just say, as a general comment as well, one hears about the Human Rights Commission, the work they're doing, very well publicized. One hears about the Gender Commission, one hears about a variety of other commissions. Unless I'm missing something, I would like to guard myself as someone who does read newspapers on a regular basis. I don't really get a feel of hearing from the Commission and its work between annual reports. And I think there's something needs to be done in terms of raising the profile. And you know, really, I think the intentions are noble and the goals that are set are virtuous. I'm not convinced that by increasing the budget we're going to see an improvement. I'm yet to be convinced, and I hope that interaction this morning does so. Thank you.
Thank you, and my apologies for coming in later. I was rushing around this morning due to personal circumstances. I have, picking up on the questions that I had for the last meeting, the commission received an extra 11 million rand in the last financial year. Now, I want to bring this to the target, that the initial targets, only 71% of the targets were met. Now, I think the commission has been, over the years, saying that they're not receiving enough funding. And then last year they received this extra million. My question is, surely that when targets are drawn up, when fresh plannings are done, why would you then peg at a rate which is higher than what you normally receive? And then in the next financial year report that we didn't receive enough funding, and that's why our targets couldn't be met. When there was a trend over the years since the commission is in place that you're not receiving enough funding, why would you then peg your targets higher? And then come, you know, when reporting, then saying that it was due to a grant shortage or due to funding. And also in the light of receiving the extra 11 million in the last financial year, was the commission not aware of its capacity when it grew up its targets? Chair, now we know the commission does reports, it does investigations, and reports would obviously come to COPTA. It would be, I must say that I'm not sure, and I don't think my memory is letting me down, but reports on studies that have been done by the Commission, whether they have actually come to this portfolio committee. I can't recall any. In the light of the Human Rights Commission that is there, as well as the CRL, what is the impact of the reports that are being generated? And my last question, Chairperson, is, to establish effective and efficient community councils, how many of these councils have been established? And why only now, after so many years, are these councils being established? What is the purpose of these councils? And are there not strategies around visibility and accessibility of the commission services already in place? Or is it being improved? Or is it being built on, or is the new strategy that is in place? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a few questions. Taking into consideration where the commission is first informing us that the commission was able to have more money in terms of the staff who have already resigned. My question is, what are the reasons for those staff to resign? Because with my little understanding, if there is a lack of more socially where productivity has to be counted, lack of staff is the tool of the day. But secondly, it's under the 2011-2012 expenditure under communication and marketing with 2.5 to 4%. It raises the question that how the commission do they communicate with the public, specifically those who are in a rural area. And secondly, I would like to find out from the commission that what marketing strategy do they have in place to accomplish their mission. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for the presentation, colleague. I've got a string of questions for you, so let's go. Okay, starting with the chairman's remarks about the budget request of the $51 million, the CEO's comments on that. The CEO said they requested $51 million in order to establish provincial offices. That's the way I understood. Now, I'm not going to understand that. You have founding legislation which says how you go about to function. Now, if it was the intention of the legislature that you have provincial offices, surely the legislature would have said the National Commission with the number of provincial offices, 9 of them, and then Treasury would fund you for that. If it doesn't say that, there wasn't the intention of this body that you have provincial offices which require funding. So on what basis do you just decide to ask for an extra 20-odd million for offices if there's no legislative mandate for you to have them in the first place? I might have got that wrong, indeed. I'm just assuming that the law doesn't say that. If I'm wrong, correct me, but I'm assuming that's the case. You might simply say one thing for fun and just ask for them for Treasury, and then if you don't get it, it's like it's a problem. It's a problem if you have a right to it in the first place, I'm going to give it to you. It's my understanding, at least. Secondly, the chair spoke to the wish to establish an academy. Now, I presume that's not part of any budget here, and I see it's not part of the five-year plan, it's not part of anything here. What is this wish to establish in relation to Model Regeneration Academy, and how does that speak to your budget? Thirdly, I'm not 100% clear on the National Consultants Conference. The last one I went to was in Durban a couple of years ago. I'm not sure there's one in between. But you spoke to the fact that the budgetary constraints which have prevented you from holding the conference, but now it's scheduled for next year, so I'm presuming that means that the funding for next year is all in place. Could you just think of that and reassure us? And what is that budget for the conference next year? Because presumably you can't host it unless Treasury has given you the money for that. Then also, the fourth point the chair made was that you got more staff in the course of the year. I'm not sure if you mean got more staff now, because in this last financial year, you speak about the resignations of staff saving you 82,000. So if you've got more staff and you also lost staff, I'm not quite sure what those two say. Then going to the CEO's presentation, could you speak to why you lost 673,000? You didn't actually say why you lost it. I mean, why you're in a deficit. You're not really legally entitled to be in a deficit. So I would think it's very important that you stick budget. And if you hadn't had those sources of funds below, which total about 900,000, you would be 1.5 million over budget, not 600,000. So it seems to me it's somewhat fortuitous that you got those extra sources of revenue. Do you want to speak to why? What is the saving of audit fees for 500,000 rand? That seems quite astonishing. Does that mean that the price of the audit went down from something else to 500,000? To a figure that resulted in the savings of 500,000, or does it mean something else? There was a slide that was presented speaking to the objectives of the commission, and one objective I found very peculiar. I can't give you the verbatim wording because I don't have it on the slide, but it said somewhere along the line that one of the objectives is to recommend the establishment and the condition of community councils. I don't know how that can be an objective of the commission, since the law says, your founding statute says, that community councils should be established. So why does it become an objective that you are going to recommend the establishment of something the law says should be done? I find it very clear. Also, you know, you've been around for a long time now. You know, you've been established yesterday. This whole issue of the establishment of the community councils is a never-ending saga. I'd like to know why they are not established or where you are in respect of this establishment at the moment. And why you need to recommend their establishment. Why need you establish who you recommend to? I thought it's your job to establish them. So you're recommending their establishment. You're suggesting somebody else should do it. I don't understand that. On the expenditure page, you break down your costs for expenditure. One of them is catering for events, which is 600,000. That's fine. I've got a problem with that. But you don't actually have an item, that I can see at least, which covers the events themselves. The dialogue, the whatever you call them. There's no item here. So these events that you hold, that you're catering for, where are they in your budget? Unless they're all under miscellaneous, but that would be a strange thing. I would think a key function of the commission would be to engage with people and engaging with them would be events of some kind. I would have thought there would be an event line item in your budget. Then when you spoke about your irregular, fruitful, wasteful expenditure, etc., there's a statement on the slide which I didn't hear the CEO speak to, which is the declaration of interest by staff members. What's that about? You're silent on that. On your operational achievements, I also have similar concerns of these targets. I mean, the way I see it, you set targets that match the resources given to you. So there's no point setting targets that you know you cannot meet because you've already given the funds for it. And then post-factors come along and say, well, we couldn't achieve them because we didn't have the money. It's a very circular way of justifying something which is not justifiable in the first place, to me, at least. So to me, you know how much money you've got, and you set targets that match the budget. Not the other way around. So please explain to me that conundrum I'm facing. I'm also, just for clarity, because I don't have the report in front of me, was the Auditor General happy on the performance side with your definition of your targets? I mean, a lot of the entities that have been had their PDOs done, one of the concerns of the AG have been that the targets are not actually meaningful or measurable, they're not smart. So did you comment on your targets? Are they all basically smart targets? That would be reassuring. I think that is it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I think some of my questions have been covered, but I have to really emphasize to be saying that the expenditure on irregular expenditure to the volume of 304.85 can that be elaborated on? Now, on the slides we talk about operational achievements. I really don't understand when you targeted that you're going to achieve 121 targets, then you only achieve 86 targets. Then you display that as an achievement, because when I'm talking here, when you target for a thing, when you target to come to Cape Town, when you are in Bloemfontein, you cannot say that you reach your target because you didn't get what you were supposed to. I think you are very economic on the issue of your achievement. You just put it in one basket, and it gives you a negative thing to be saying that you didn't reach, because the target is what you want to reach at the end of whatever. Hence, I really need an explanation. Maybe you could have elaborated, because at the end of the day, I always say that when you got a presentation and it happened to land on my hand, and I was not been privileged to be in a meeting, I should understand what you're talking about. The last one, Chairperson, on the issue of the 5-year turnaround strategy, like other members have been saying, I look at them, and yes, they are strategies. Maybe you can remind me, when did we set this strategy? And where are we exactly? Because when you say that, like, to increase the pace of service delivery to the nation, then you give me on the annual report, it doesn't tell me much. Where are you in this particular strategy which you set? Now, you have just copied up all the strategies and put them on paper, and they are supposed to be the turnaround strategy, but you don't tell us where are you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, maybe I'll add some few questions before I give over to the responses. On your annual report on page 36, I've quoted most of your input under your financial statement. The annual financial statement, you said audit financial statements were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework as required by Section 41B of of the Public Finance Management Act. I just want to check on that one. Secondly, you said financial officer did not take an effective step to prevent irregular as required by the Public Finance Management Act and Treasurer's Regulation. That is under leadership. And also, according to the accounting officer, did not oversight regarding financial and performance reporting on compliance with all the laws that I've made mention. I just want to check on this, and I just made some statements. I just want to check on this, and what measures of such strategies that should put in place to avoid this for the next financial year? Are your internal controls in place to avoid this? And also, as much as we appreciate your breakdown on your expenditure, like your catering, telephone, traveling, but what impact have it has been done with these expenditures? Maybe talking about catering, you're busy with your communicating or doing your services down with the people or in round tables, and they're like, are there any impact that has reflected there, maybe in connection of your visibility and maybe people coming to understand what is the, your scope of work? And also under your fruitless expenditure because of a late renewal of car's license disc. I just want to check who is responsible for this and what happened to that person. Are there any disciplinary measures that have put in place to this one and all the other irregular expenditures? What have you done on that one since we are looking forward to have an unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis in the next financial year? Through your efforts and doing oversight coupled with your work on your finances, I just want to check what measures are in place that will prevent all those that has been prevailed in your annual report. Thanks. And also to reduce, we appreciate your breakdown and to reduce those catering, those traveling, so that you'll be able to save. What measures you put in place? I'll give over to you, Chairman.
Okay, let me say the one more thing. The question is maybe it's a little question for we want to capture. It was still part of our mandate in terms of our culture. We realize that Ubuntu is a skill, a life skill, that has been lost within the culture. People in general or people, instead of African, that emphasize Ubuntu. And so maybe the way that happened in our history. But we do have, we want to support the traditional affairs and the moral regeneration to say this is something that I think we can do. And so that is how the way that happened. And I appreciate your question on that. Just to say that maybe one should be careful about how one is
doing.
Person in that response, meaning that I'm not going to create an academy at a school. By the way, you understood it here. It's an academy whereby we'll be doing interactions, working in relations with other relevant sector departments.
Precisely, but what is it that we are focusing on? What is it? What is the moral regeneration movement of name and value? Can those values incorporate and you have your particular principles? Those particular principles must be incorporated in those things so that you consolidate all these different efforts that are made from different angles. so that they are really brought to the fore. Do people know what to think? Do they know what to do? Do people know the values and so forth? Perhaps I may just address a bit. To say the last time we were celebrating Africa at Human Rights Day, we realized, for instance, that people don't know about they don't know what is involved. And when you look into it, you discover that a lot of what is in the Constitution of South Africa is also in the African Union. So we think this is more educational than a short term.
I'm a little bit lost. I just want to find out that the commission itself, what interaction is going to, how the commission is going to interact to cascade this Ubuntu principle. Because maybe this is something I'm lost and I don't understand how the commission is explaining this. You are talking about Ubuntu, where also it is derived from the youth. But now, how are you going to, what will be the intervention through the youth or the public to cascade the what you call it, the message?
Perhaps we might appreciate that. Where do we come from? Where are we going to?
Where do we come from? Where are we going to? And so this is going to be a beginning of things that are going to unravel. We are going to hear at this conference what is it that we're talking about, what is it that needs to be done, precisely what Honourable Member says, Jefferson. So that question is a question that we also have to address. How do we really make it cascade to all the other relevant parties? It's a question that is in progress. I don't know if that is. And then there was a question of NCC, I think. As to... For NCC. Right. Let me say that is going to, that is why we also brought in the CFO, so that we can actually answer very, very clearly on this question. To say that you will have more, much more of a substantial explanation from both CEO and CFO in terms of the funds for the NCC. And just to say that this NCC is something that we have been dying for, and the funds were actually for the NCC because we were worried that we're not fulfilling the mandate. And then just to remind your honourable member, Chairperson, that the question of provincial offices also, I think, which was mentioned. I think if we go to the review of the parliamentary review on Chapter 9 institutions, which was colloquially called the Kada Asmal Report, these issues are there. Thirdly, I think honourable members will remember that the CRL Commission was the last commission to be established. And being the last commission itself was not fully thought through in terms of legislation. Because if you go through the legislation, you will discover that there are certain things that really need to be taken care of. And it was so difficult on governance, Chairperson, to bring together our plenary and to work on some of these issues. On the question, for instance, of the budget being high, on staff. I'd like the person to, with deep respect, say, if you think of 17 commissioners who every time they get engaged have to be paid for the day, there are only two full-time.
but 15 others have to go to be brought, go to be paid for whatever deliberation or whatever, whether it's a committee meeting, whether Section 22 meetings and so forth. So that also tends to inflate that amount. But that's so that I give others in case there are things that I have not answered on my side, maybe the deputy might come in. But just to say that it would be very difficult to implement programs without personnel. And so those personnel go hand in hand with implementation of programs, because if someone is going to do something, that's also when you request it, what is it? When you've requested a person, a commissioner from Durban, to go and attend something, that commissioner comes there and presents our case, presents the CRL case, and so forth. So it's not that people be paid without them delivering. It is payment that goes hand in hand with. And just before I give over to my other colleagues, President, I just want to say we do find these questions very helpful, because they really make us, when we do things, to actually begin to think, why are we doing what we are doing? And we appreciate that very much.
Maybe
your
team can respond to all the other questions.
Yes.
The money for the functioning of the system is just a matter of something, but you didn't get it in one way. The economic is maybe sharing what are the costs, what is going to be in the system.
To establish what the
and then secondly,
no, with the national conference, it is going to refer to PFO to expand more where there are funds. Why before the commissioner was wanting to accomplish their mandate, and it's just because of funds. At that time there were funds, but we hear the responses from the PFO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to respond to some of the questions that are posed to the CRL. The first question was on the dress code of the learners at school. The honourable member said there is a school uniform in the class. So yes, you are right. There is a dress code for every school, not only school. Even at work, there is a dress code. So, but sometimes you'll find that there are Rastafarian learners who go to school with their dreadlocks, which might be against the regulations of the school. That's where we get in. Sometimes the children have pandla on their yes, and some also who are Indians or Muslims will wear the scarves around their heads and trousers, you know, all the time. And then some who are attaining as dangomas, amatasana, you'll find they've got some beads on their hands, on their feet, and also on their necks, and which the school regulation might be against. So that's where we get into, try to show tolerance, and also to show that in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, everyone is allowed to practice his or her own religion in a way that won't be offensive to other people. So we talked to the school governing body and the principal to try to accommodate such a dress code, which may not be at a larger scale at a particular school. It may be one or two learners for a particular period.
Can I make a follow-up
to it?
You see, this thing of Matwazana having to wear the beads and maybe even on their heads, and some people like Rastafarians having to wear their dreadlocks and things like that, long hair, and many others, traditional attire, you see, you would remember that each and every ethnic grouping in South Africa have got its own traditions. The way they dress, the way they, you know, they do certain things. But if we allow these things now to take place within a learning institution, we are going to encounter a very serious problem.
When I'm opening a discussion now through the responses, I think let's wait for the conference whereby we put a different view on that one. Because now we are posing the question to the commissioner of which they are trying to intervene according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights on other people's religion. And the response was saying it is much of a large jail and it's still not. You can take many cultures, the Indians, whereby their males have to keep their beard for a certain time so that they recognize that now they are men. We've got our owners' home as initiation. You mean that when coming the season of initiation in every ethnic group or culture, like mostly in winter, it means that now the school mustn't intervene and say we allow the certain months that the children are out to do that cultural thing. We are saying you're dismissing that and they will catch up when they come back. No, let us not go far from there. Let's allow them to respond their way of intervention and part of their mandate, and maybe to make aware some of the other schools that these things are happening, but it's seasonal. But according to our constitution, let's accommodate every culture that is here. But your discussions can enrich the conference and raise and trigger some arguments in other cultural groups, because we are speaking to them, and most of the people whom they are representing are not here to speak and put their case here. Let's pass that one for now. And listen to the responses, and we'll do some follow-up after the responses. Let us then open some kind of discussion, maybe, and scrutinize them why are they doing this. Let's wait for that conference so that they'll be able to hear from the horse's mouth why are these issues we want them. As a rainbow nation, as South Africa, we agree that we'll accommodate every culture. You may continue, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to explain that presently the Commission is holding dialogues in different provinces about this dress code. Right. I want also, through you, Madam Chair, to respond on the fact that our Honourable Member does not hear anything about the Commission in newspapers and radios and so on. So I'm gladly responding by saying we send out media releases almost twice or thrice weekly, and on Radio SAFM we're always there. The person is always there. Even day before yesterday, I think it was on Radio SAFM. We also have some interviews on Radio 702. And Mufeding FM, Chovela FM, Lesedi FM, Ligwalagwala FM, Mganalonene, and so on. No, that's Mganalonene of the Tsonga speakers, and then Msobowenene for the quarters. Yes, so we do have interviews with those radio stations. Even on TV, national TV, our president and CEO do appear now time and again. So, and even on newspapers, we do, for good or for bad reasons, we do appear on newspapers. Madam Chair, I wanted also to respond on this question: what is the purpose of community councils? And why did it took so long to establish them? I just want to explain the difference between NCC and CC. NCC is National Consultative Conference, which is mandated even on our Act. When the first, when the commissioners get into office, they must hold the first NCC conference, that is the National Consultative Conference, where they get mandates from communities of what to do. And then towards the end of the term, 5-year term, there must be a second NCC conference that responds to the mandate that or the mandate resolutions that were given to them, and also to set also another pace for the incoming commissioners. And then the community councils are something else. Community councils are they are community based, and they can either be cultural community councils, religious community councils, or linguistic community councils. These are sort of an extended arm of the commission to the communities. When we have got like national consultative conferences, instead of just saying everybody come to the conference, then we consult community councils, and then they will send representatives. Perhaps it will answer also partly the question Koshi Mandela. The community councils are to send a rep each, either culturally, religiously, and linguistically. And then these are catered for by the commission to the conference. They represent their communities. And if, for instance, a commission has got a problem, let's say in Eastern Cape, in the land of Koshi Mandela, the commission may not have all the answers or solutions, but instead it will come upon the community council in his land to come and assist in resolving a situation. Because just like in counseling, we don't give answers to the communities, but we help them in coming up with answers.
I think that's what I want to say about community council.
And why it took so long? You know, because of financial constraints, it's now a cliche, you know, like a record with a crash. lack of funds. But up to so far, we have gone a long way, because in every province, there are community councils that are established.
What is the reason for staff to resign? I may attempt to answer this, but perhaps the CEO and the CFO might also help me there. For instance, one of our senior members resigned to go for graduate at the University of Cape Town, and the other one resigned to work in the office of the public protector. And then the other one who was in the communications department resigned to go and work in Limpopo in a communications department, I think of agriculture, if I'm not wrong. So the others went for better, you know, post. I mean, it's good to retain staff, but there are some time when, especially younger people who might feel that they need to expand their careers and go to other, you know, better places or greener pastures. Yes, and what is remarkable about these resignations is the fact that these people were exposed by the commission. They were doing such a good job, and then they were identified and posted by other people. And which is, it's a good thing for the commission that train people that are useful to other people. A bad thing that we also lose potential. You see? Yes.
Yes. I just say that one of the people actually mentioned that one of our senior researchers, that if he had known that we were going to receive funds, he would not have left. I could quote him, and because I'm not just talking for him, but this is what he said to me. Mm-hmm. But it was too late.
Thank you. And the other is, how do we reach the public, especially in rural areas, and what is our marketing strategy? In rural areas, as I've already mentioned earlier, we have community councils, so we work through the community councils. And time and again, we'll call them to our offices to workshop them, or we go to them to workshop them. And then the other thing is, we also have an outreach program from the communications department and marketing department. And then in these outreach programs, we target the schools, we target the community, we target the traditional leadership also. And we also target religious groups. And as the schools, we'll talk about religion, culture, and language also. Trying to
to conscientize the youth as to the work of the CRL, and even telling them about the careers that they can do if they are interested in religion, in culture, and in language. Because what's important with the youth is the future. The other marketing strategy is we use pamphlets that are translated into 11 official languages through the help of Department of Arts and Culture. These are distributed to people with addresses and contact numbers at the back. And we also use promotion material that we distribute to people. But then there must be a strategy on how you distribute this, because you can't just give. Yeah. When we're at schools, we'll ask questions related. We'll talk to them from there. We'll ask questions related to culture, religion, and language. And then whoever gets the correct answer, and then will get something, the promotion material. This is so interesting and touching, because at some schools, we also get cultural problems that the students or the learners themselves are envisaging. For instance, in Mbombela, we once encountered one or two students. In fact, those are the ones who came out to speak. But the others were many, so, but they didn't speak. You know, we have got the personality differences. Some are outspoken and some are introverted. So these two students were Tsonga speaking, Oshangan speaking, but they were staying in the residential area, which was prominently Swati. So as a result, when they tried to speak their language amongst their peer group, they would be laughed at and be labeled as inferior and so on. In such a way that even at their homes, they were forced to change their surnames from Shangan surnames to Swati surnames because of the complex that they had. So you see, the work of the commission is still very far to be accomplished, you know, when you consider such things, even amongst the pets themselves, right? And then in communities, when you get to communities, we'll always arrange with the municipality. And then from there, the people will be invited to come to a hall, and then we'll talk to them about their CRL rights and how to access our commission, and also giving them complaint forms and teach them how to fill them. And then with the traditional leadership, we will go to the traditional leader, and then he will call the subjects according to their protocol. And then we'll talk to them and about their cultural, religious, and linguistic rights, especially because those are the custodians of culture, the custodians of religion, and the custodians of language itself. Especially because, you know, these days, the Department of Higher Education is envisaging that almost every student who passes a degree must have at least one course in an African language. So that's what we are trying to, that's how we market our commission. Madam Chair, I think those are a few questions that I wanted to respond to.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think most of the questions have been answered. I'll just go through a few of them that have been left. Especially on the expenditure there, there was a question about 51 million and the deficit, something around that. This must be understood. We have answered the question 51 million, but we didn't get 51 million. We got 22 million. And the deficit means is what we expended more than what we were supposed to. What more than what we have. So in other words, what is happening is that we got 23 million and then we expended 23 million. We got 22 million, we expended 23 million. 51 million was just what we requested, and that was basically about the having provinces. And the chairperson has alluded that is contained in the Karatma court. Besides being the Karatma court, other capital institutions, they've got regional offices. not only chapter 9 and 16, also in chapter 2, institutions have got regional offices, and for accessibility and visibility, we need to have regional offices. That's the reason we came up with that, because we need to plan.
Before we move on to the next question, can I just follow up? I know what a deficit is. A deficit is when you spend more than you're given. The question I'm asking is, why that deficit? Why didn't you control the expenditure such that you didn't run into a deficit? In other words, not spend what then became a deficit.
Okay. All right. Well, Chair, the deficit happened like this. We actually, because every quarter, we do what is called monitoring and evaluation of how far we are. We do our progress, checking our own progress. And we realized that towards the end of the last quarter, there were some few rents that would be remaining. And then what we did is that we reprioritized on our plans. And what we did is that, because the third quarter, as you know, is only 3 months, and what we did is that we worked on the balance that we had, and then we had to pay the creditors. But what happened is that some of our work, some of the invoices only came after the closing of the financial year. That's the reason then it had we had the overspending. In other words, we had to pay from the other budget from the financial year. I think this might be here to answer that clearly. But what happened is that we had to reprioritize our way, and as a result of that, we received invoices, some of the invoices, later than we thought. The other question was about how does the commission tend to achieve it, I guess. As I've already indicated, we actually, the report that we are presenting here, Honorable Chair, it's coming from the strat plan. Every year we develop an annual strat plan. Out of the strat plan, we develop a business plan. Out of the business plan, we develop a web plan. And then we start implementing. And then out of our implementation, what we do is that on monthly basis and quarterly basis, we monitor our work. What we have recently done is that we have actually employed an internal auditor. As you recall last time that when I presented last time, I said we were using source internal auditors. So what we have done now is that we have actually appointed an internal auditor in a sense of a human being. So that person will be able to assist us and give us guidance and a direction. Honorable Chair, we invite the AG on a quarterly basis. That is our plan, providing the plan. On every quarter, this, we're going to have another meeting on the 29th of this month with the AG.
Chairperson, just to add on that, to say, we will be meeting also the AG on Friday's meeting, the executive, just for an oversight chat with us.
Sorry, I might misunderstood the answer, at least from the way Wendy and I both asked the question. The way I understood the question was, you've got a certain budget that constrains what you can do. So you set targets to fit your budget. Then you can't come to us and say, afterwards, we didn't meet our targets because we didn't have the finances, because your finances are what your budget is. But you come to us and say, we didn't reach our target because of financial shortfalls. That's what we don't understand. Your answer didn't speak to that form of the question.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Yes, I agree that what we do as a commission is the ABC, the what we call activity-based costing. That's how we do our costing. Yes, but during the course of the year, there are other things that come that were not anticipated. And because of the lack of funds that the commission has been having, we don't have a separate budget whereby it is put in order to deal with those kinds of issues. Contingencies, we don't have a budget that can actually deal with that. For instance, we have what we call special projects that we cannot avoid. Projects that some of them come from our partners, some of them are initiated by the commission, some of them, it's because the nation is talking, we need to respond. or the nation is crying, we need to respond. As a result of that, we have to shift budgets. And then shifting the budgets that we already allocated, then it, that's the thing that creates the problem.
Chairperson, if I may just add a few corrections, if I can state it like that. I understand the committee to understand the 11 million happened in last year. There's a correction that we need to make. The 11 million was only effective from this year. So in the year under review, we have had more than 500,000 cut from our budget. I wanted to see the figure here in my 539,000 rand cut in the final baseline for the year under review. And that is where the question of reducing targets is coming in. We have to reduce our targets to account for that 540,000 that we won't receive from National Treasury. Yes, sir. That is the clarity I wanted to bring to the meeting. So in our original budget, we were allocated 22,800 and something, and we ended up with 2,250,000. Therefore, we also could not achieve mandatory meetings of our board, the four quarterly meetings, and therefore we've received additional funding, the 228 you see there on the screen, from COPTA to allow us to at least have the initial meeting of April the prior year. So just to put that a bit into perspective, I think that the years is becoming a bit less. So that when we say we have to reduce our targets, it's because of the budget cut that we have received from National Treasury. That was round about, the date is a bit lost, but it might be round about February. So it was a bit late when we received the because we received the final allocation letter, and then we received the adjusted letter, and then the third adjusted letter. So there was some challenges from Treasury side to finance. The deficit, also I just want to maybe quickly just to explain a bit of the deficit. The CRL Commission is not accounting as a department on cash base. We're accounting on a crew base of accounting. Therefore, you will see in our financial statements there, in the bank we had more than half a million available in the bank. Yet we report a deficit of 600 and some thousand rand. That is the invoices that we have to account for in this year, although we're not able to pay them within this budget. So technically, we didn't spend more than we received. We spent more than what we spent cash, but a little less than what we received. But if you do all the accruals and all the provisions for what you may pay out on bonuses next year, what you may pay out on leave if someone were to resign, those matters raise more or less 150,000 rand that we actually report as an over-expenditure, but it's not a physical over-expenditure yet. It's an accrual. Thank you, sir. And,
are there any other questions?
Yes.
You need to be reminded that you captured them.
Yeah, I've got them.
Okay, can you respond?
Yes, thanks. The report, there was a question about the committee not receiving reports. What we have, and I believe that that could be true, that the committee was not reporting.
Weren't
receiving a report as one could have expected. But what we have done is that as from this financial year, we have actually adopted that system whereby when we invite departments or when we write to departments to implement certain recommendations, we also, as per our cause, we bring that to the attention of the committee. So that is going to happen. But I also believe that the chairperson, I'm not sure whether I'm killing the bait before, the chairperson has brought some reports to the committee. You'll bear with me if I'm jumping the gun. Yeah, but we have realized that we need to have a constant communication with the committee, and that is providing our plan. The issue of impact on the report. I think we are making impact. For instance, I can mention a matter in KwaZulu-Natal whereby the through speaking, people were not allowed to speak in Sesotho and learn in Sesotho in those areas, in that area. And as per our innovation and our research and whatever that we did there, I need to report that those people are now allowed to use their language, practice it, and then speak in that language, in their language in that area. Also, the issue of the initiation report that we had, whereby we have been having quite a number of issues around, especially in the Eastern Cape, we have actually realized that the deaths of the initiates there are being reduced. I'm also able to announce that the Limpopo province was actually the first one to use the recommendations from our report. And then a few areas in the Eastern Cape also they have started using the recommendations of our report. Also, the report on the animal slaughtering for ritual purposes, we are aware that now municipalities, and then we've been having meetings with ALGA and everyone, they are on board, they have now came on board, they understand that it is my religion to slaughter an animal in my yard for ritual purposes without being chased by police. So that thing is being implemented. So we think about the impact of what the commission is actually doing. When we speak to Rastafari, with the report that we just recently launched, we also have to announce that the persecution of Rastafari people has subsided because it was taking place especially in this province, whereby Rastafari people were persecuted by police. I can mention now a number of reports, but just to stop there. The issue of community councils, I think the DC has actually responded to that. The issue of why the staff resigned, I think the DC also spoke with that. But I also need to emphasize that most of the people who resigned is because of the exposure, as the DC has indicated, exposure by this commission. Then we lost the method back. And in any event, if people have seen a greener pasture than your green pasture, then they will tend to move. The funds commission. All right, there was a question of how the commission communicates with communities. And the DC also actually responded to that. I don't want to repeat that. The issue of provincial offices. Bastanta also, the Ubuntu, the NCC and the funding, I need to indicate to the committee that we have actually budgeted for 4 million for the NCC. We have budgeted for the 4 million. That is out of 11 million that the CFO was speaking about. The 11 million is only made available for this financial year. It's not for the previous year. Only the previous year we only had 22 million. This year we have the 5 million, the 5 million rents. But we have allocated 4 million, but we have realized that it could be, we may have to add a few rents on that due to, because in 2008 we had the same event, it costed us around the same amount. The deficit that the CFO has actually explained, the savings from the auditors, I'm not sure that he has also explained on that. Yes, thanks. If not, he will explain on that. And then the establishment of the committee council and the financial catering for events.
Sorry, the question is not why you're behind, why you are recommending the establishment instead of just establishing them. It's your job to establish them, why you just do it. Who are you recommending to and why?
Thank Honourable Chair. It is unfortunate if the Honourable Members will understand. On the five-year turnaround strategy, one of our objectives there is to amend the Civil Rights Act, because that's providing the Act. There are a few things that are not very clear on in the Act. There is a recommendation of establishment of this committee council. It's exactly what the Act is saying.
Your report of saying that you do recommendations emanated from the Act. So the Act is saying that you do recommendations to who?
Honourable Chair, in fact, what we are doing as you know that there's this saying or this principle that says when the law is vague and embarrassing, what you do, you interpret the law in your favour. So that's what we're doing. Instead of looking at the wording how do we, who recognize what you're doing, we register and establish community council.
But see, that pushes you to I'll first say that. But you were saying recommend, saying you do recommendations, now we're saying you just implement. For your discretion, you use your discretion for the interpreting the
if that's what we are doing, Honorable Chair, because that is what the Act says, just says recommend. But we have realized that the legislature wanted to say we must establish committee councils. But the reason at the end of the day, after establishing this committee council, they come up with the so-called mini conferences, meaning provincial conferences. Then after that, you come with the national consultative conference. That's the one that we're going to have in February. There was a question about the catering, and then also I think it came twice. How do we reduce all the catering and stuff like that? We appreciate the fact, the honourable members, that we need to cut on catering, and actually we have actually started implementing that. For instance, we used to do when we go to the community, because communities that we are very poor communities. You go deep in the rural areas, you find very poor communities that they are not even able to come to a meeting. And then you go there, they don't come to a meeting, it becomes a fruitless expenditure. Then you have to meet the communities halfway. And I believe that you also are aware that the Act provides that this commission must provide funding to the community councils that we have established. But because of the lack of funds, we are not doing that. We are not providing funds for them. But what we are doing is that we meet them halfway. Meeting them halfway by maybe referring them to the event, buying something to eat, because some of them they will be walking distance to come where you are. So as a result, the reason this thing comes to the point where we're talking about catering and all those kind of things. Because if then we have to do it the other way around, is to give money to these community councils that we don't have.
I'm happy with the catering, it doesn't worry me at all. My question was, you have a line item on catering in your budget, you don't have a line item for the actual events themselves. There's no mention in your budget of dialogues, meetings, nothing. But the catering is there, which I find incongruous.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Again, then this criteria takes us back to the annual report that that was sent to the members some time ago. This breakdown of catering is provided in the, because it's activity that we have. We have indicated that we have 101 targets. Most of them is dialogue, seminars, engagement, meetings, all these kind of things. No, we didn't put them on the slide. But they are... Yes, that's a summary of that, because then we didn't go PEA, they had a meeting in Limpopo. No. So, what we did is that we summarized that, but they are providing the annual report.
No, I'm saying the report is having most of the events, the presentation is just the summer.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't have the report with me, so I'm just because you add all these figures up, it comes to 100%, I presume. Right, which means that all your events are under one of these categories. Which category is it under?
The type of expenditure, because of the slide in front of you there, is coming from directly from the financial statements. So in the financial statements, we have a summary of the total expenditure for the CRL. So whoever catered is part of catering. Whoever hired the venue is part of hiring a venue. So we didn't line item the expenses as per activity that took place. But it is in the annual financial statement. This is just to give you an understanding more or less what the main cost or spending items was that the CRL engaged in during that year. So it does not relate to a specific item. It is a summary of all the items collectively. Mm-hmm. This is what we have spent our money on. That's why you will find staff costs, the biggest one there. That's more, you can say, relating more to your headquarters expenditure. Whereas catering, and I also don't have the slide in front of me at the moment, but the other items is inclusive of what we have spent in respect of all our activities as the total institution.
Meaning that in your presentation, which reflects catering, you said out of the 121 targets on events, you earmarked the 86 that you accomplished, it's covered by that some amount of that catering.
This is actual
expenditure, yes. Okay. But I think maybe it's on your annual report. I haven't gone through the annual report because I was going to come up with a follow-up question of saying that's the common question that we used to ask as members of this portfolio committee for assuring your visibility. In my area, Gertsmond, I had to spoke about some places in Malang. My area, Gertsmond, are there any community councils that you are having that you are working with?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I'll not be able to give an exact answer that in Kherzband we have got the community council, but what I know that we have got the community councils representing Mpumalanga. Yes, we have them. Each province has got community councils. For instance, when during the NCC, what we want to do is that we look at the number of community councils in Mpumalanga, then look at areas also, location, geographic areas, and then call one from each area to attend the NCC. So I believe the Khersi Banda is also represented, but I can also find that answer for you, Honorable Chair.
But for my additional advice, we used to do that. Could we please be invited in any event that you conduct down there on checking your nearest constituency office and check who's the member of parliament deployed. Any member, maybe besides, even if it's not the member of the committee, any member of parliament who just bear the testimony of saying that, yes, the CRL is working, it's visible. Because in each and every province, we have constituent offices. I think there are 300 and something, all of them, across all the party lines. You don't discriminate. Constituent office, you see the area is going to have an event. You check around when doing your logistic, your preparation for that event. Are there any constituent office here? Because most of the time, you just check the council or invite the mayor or a speaker to come grace the occasion. But I'll advise that so that you'll be able, when talking to parliament, as your mouth is on the work that you're doing, some of us will be able to be seeing what you're doing.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, for that advice. But what we normally do is we coordinate with the municipality. I remember when we were in Mpumalanga, I think it was April this year. So we were working through the very same constituency that you're talking about. I remember when we went to one in Kwamrushwa, when we went to one meeting, there was the councillor who wore an ANC T-shirt, and then he was called to order by the very same municipality person who was helping us out that he shouldn't wear an ANC T-shirt, because that meeting was not for ANC, but it was for everybody, cut across political parties and for the community. So, but we're taking note of what you said, and I think that's what we do also in other provinces. But the other problem that we are having is, for instance, when we went to the centenary of the ANC, it wasn't because we are affiliates of ANC. It was because of our speciality in culture, religion, and language as a commission. Even before the actual event, we were called upon time and again to attend their meetings via logistics in order to give them, you know, how to erect a crawl, who must get into that crawl, what size is the crawl, and who is to slaughter the animal, and how to take care of the spear that is going to slaughter the animal, and so on. So, but later on, that was politicized, you see, which becomes a problem to us. But like for instance, the Lilies Farm Youth League invited us because of expertise. They wanted to learn how to slaughter and so on, because they were doing that ritual, but they didn't have the expertise. So we also called upon the traditional healers who were helping us out, and then the function went on. But even if, like for instance, one time we went with the CEO to Solidaritate in Pretoria to meet with the Afrikaner organizations about CRM matters. But that one was not an event. We once also went to Orania to learn about the people there in Orania, and we brought about some wisdom. But that was not, you know, underlined. But when it was an ANC, then it's a problem that is even in the hands of the public protector as we speak now. So, but we are taking note of what you are saying, because if you are in leadership, you must be thick-skinned and cater for everyone. But what I'm trying to say is the commission is also open to any political party that wants our expertise as far as culture, religion, and language is concerned. Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The other question was about the auditor's comment. Yes, the auditor has commented on the performance. What they are saying is that our targets were not time bound. That's what they were saying. They were not time bound. The everything was fine, but only time bound issue. They said we must improve on that. And there was a question of regular expenditure 304. I'm not sure what was that question, but we had a regular expenditure of 304,000 rand. And then I have explained that the regular expenditure occurred because as we do submissions in the office, we need to write at the end of the submission that Cornelius Mark does not have an interest on whatever submission I'm presenting. So in other words, you have to declare that you don't have any interest in the submission. So that's what the auditors are saying. We just have right there in our submission. So that thing caused us a little expenditure. We try to argue that saying we have followed the process, but they say just write that. We don't negotiate with you. Write that you don't have any interest in the in this. So that there is we have this regular expenditure. But they got the auditors, we couldn't argue them with them anymore. That's why we have this.
Clarity, because that was I just realized you speak to the item I was raising. So the issue is the lack of a declaration of interest.
Yes.
Automatically renders expenditure concerned
irregular.
Yes. It's nothing to do with the expenditure regularly.
No.
It's just
no.
Because there's no declaration of interest.
Yes, that's the only thing.
Okay.
Mm.
That's the kind of language that you are arguing with Asia.
Oh, all right, they were... Yeah, 5-year turnaround strategy. Yeah. The 5-year turnaround strategy, Honorable Chair, is not just what we thought when we came to this committee, but it's what is in our strat plan. If we go back to our strat plan, even the previous strat plan, we had this 5-year turnaround strategy, whereby we want to do things, business, not as usual. So that's the reason we came up with this. A five-year turnaround strategy. Some of the projects that we have undertaken, we have started with them. Some of them we haven't yet. Some of them will take a bit longer than we have. So for instance, when talking about accessibility and visibility, that's what we are working hard on. So for instance, we through the committee council that now the nation should know that the CRL Commission is existing through the media. Even today, I'm talking like this, there's a commissioner that's representing the commission for more than an hour at around 1 o'clock on the issue of the say to South African men respect their women. That is what they've requested to respond on that SABC one. At 1 o'clock, we'll be live on that. So we try by all means to do business a bit unusual, if I'm putting it correct. The financial statements were not prepared in accordance with legislation, whatever. Yeah, page 36. Yeah, the Honorable Chair, you recall that as long as the auditors haven't find something that they don't understand or they think is not correct, they will, this will be their language. For instance, we have just indicated that they are saying we have got a real expenditure of 304, and we are saying we don't believe the real expenditure. But because they found that, they will, their language will be like this, that our financial statements are not in accordance with GRAP, with GAP, with all those legislation. So the as long as they happen to find something, they will mention that. The account will be that did not take responsibility. That's another language that they use. Immediately the regular expenditure, the wasteful expenditure, then they will come and say the accounting officer did not take responsibility or did not do anything in that regard. However, I need to indicate, Honorable Chair, that we have got the internal control measures that we are putting in place. Every day we are developing on that. But the reason you see our annual report this year is a bit different from the annual report that we had the previous year. So we're trying to improve on our way, and we hope one day we'll have a very clean report. The impact of Kate, and I think you have explained this one. The car license XY renewed late. Yes, thank you, Didi. I'm not trying to push the blame, and I'm not here to do that. But when the commission in 2010, I happened to find that the vehicles were not functional, they were not working for number of years. I'm not sure how long, or a year. Yeah, I think it was a year. So the disc expired, and then upon my arrival, I said then we need to renew the vehicles, because when commissioners visit us, they are struggling to be ferried to the office. Then that's when the thing came up, when we actually renewing the disc of the vehicles. But I have actually given this part to the head of corporate service today. In future, we don't want to have this kind of a thing happening. And then what action has been taken? That's what we did at the commission. How to reduce catering and traveling? I think I've responded to that. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Honourable members, here are some other responses.
The audit fees was mainly saved. The budget was about 1.5 million. That was a figure that was received from the auditor general themselves prior to I think maybe 2 years in front of the actual audit. So the audit hours that they spent in the audit process were less. The audit hours only came to just less than a million. And that half a million was created between the budget they set for our audit and the hours that they've actually spent.
So that means the importance of strengthening your internal audit. When the actual time of auditing comes, things must be easy to reduce the hours. That's another reason we've listened. Are there any follow-up questions? Honorable Nelson?
Can the chairperson tell us why your website isn't live? Because nothing seems to be working on there besides none of the programs are on. You can't log into. I think you can just basically get photos on there, and you can get your contact details on there. But there's an icon which gives you allows you to raise any complaints or to report anything. And one can't seem to get into any of these besides your contact details and your photo gallery. And I think your latest news, I think, was in August 2012.
Thank you.
So, Chairperson, thank you very much. I asked a specific question around what interventions were done during that Islamophobic incident in the Northwest province. I didn't hear a response from that. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question as well, having now seen the annual report, and I'm not sure that we actually have achieved this. I'll go back to my office and check. But Okay, well, that be that as it may. I see a lot of the missed targets, and I'm unclear as well, because in the annual report, Performance Plan 2012 to 2013, the target is 390 cases investigated, 63 research reports done, 420 dialogues. Is that for the extended five-year period? So is it in the Department's 2012-2013 report, it's got those as your output. Now, is that for the entire five-year period, or is it for just the period under review? I'm not finished. The other one is, if you have a look at the targets versus results achieved, a lot of the reasons raised here were human resource, insufficient human capacity. If you've heard that this commission has the highest number of commissioners of any other commission, if I heard directly in the introductory remarks. And can I just get an understanding of what would be required then from a human capacity to ensure these targets are met? And are we booking, 30 more people, what sort of staff, and has there been any costing done around that? Thanks.
Honourable Poyna.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, the presenter alluded to the fact that Rastafarian persecution has subsided a lot, particularly in Western Cape, where he says it was occurring. Now, I just want clarity here, because I really don't think he wanted to say persecution, because if you arrest people for wrongdoing and bringing them before the magistrate to take a decision and pass judgment, that cannot be classified under persecution, but prosecution. I want clarity there, because persecution is something out of this world. You can't persecute people in this era. Secondly, you just said that the 590-something rand had to be paid as a penalty because the vehicle licenses had expired. And when you came in there, vehicles were not functional because of that. Now, my question is...
Let me correct the question. 566 or 39 is for the whole irregular expenditure, but for the cars, they're making sort of 60,000.
Okay, whatever amount it is. Whatever amount it is, what is important is, I have a feeling that if licenses, vehicle license can expire and cars cannot now be driven around, I get a feeling that it means you did not have or you don't have a fleet management. Now I want to know as to whether currently you still have no fleet management or you have fleet management. The person who would actually take charge of vehicles and ensure that they are registered permanently. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just a suggestion or maybe a proposal. The Commission mentioned that they've extended the outreach to the schools, which is a good thing for our new generation. But seemingly there is a critical area, even if I am not sure that how do the Commission interact with it. Sometime last year, there was this scenario where a woman was attacked at a taxi rank by wearing a miniskirt. So my intake is, how do the Commission interact in terms of the outreach? Can't they come up with a strategy to interact with the taxi rank? I'm saying this because for where we come from, according to our culture, some of us, when we grew up, we were wearing mahadi and soapy and so on. Now I think it's the time that taxi men have to be, educated that a miniskirt for a young woman, it comes from where our mothers and fathers have been wearing matek or makabe and so on. Thank you.
Honourable Smith?
Chair, going back to your expenditure sheet, the one 2011-12, just a couple of figures. I'm not clear with the figures. I mean, I assume they're accurate, but I'm just struck by the magnitude. I mean, all your consultants, not your consultants, all your commissioners, right? You know, travel around the country and everything. You send them here, there, and everywhere. You come to board meetings, blah, blah, blah. But the total cost for all your travel and subsistence is only 1 million rand. That strain average to me. I would have thought it would be much higher, but I'm glad it's low. But then, if you relate, for example, just to water and electricity. Now, I mean, water doesn't cost much. A building, office building, water is nothing. So it's electricity, and you don't... I mean, how come electricity is half a million rand, basically? What kind of building do you have, and what kind of... That's a big figure, because it equals, for example, your telecommunications cost. It equals your stationery and printing. It equals virtually your catering. I mean, it's a very high figure, considering I should... I don't know what is your staff complex. It can't be very big. Yeah, so it's a small thing. It's like a few houses together. You know, and there's half a million rand electricity. It's cuckoo to me. So I don't know what that's about. And the catering we've done, the travel, oh yeah. And lastly, I mean, it's just, I don't want to re-harp on it, it's just a statement. I still think that in terms of the way this presents itself, especially in the light of this whole thing of tech government and catering and government partying all the time, that I would rather simply catering your events, I'd rather say events, and then events would include catering. Not catering is a line item by itself. I'd have events, just your 400 dialogues, and it costs the vehicles, the cost of the event hire, the cost of the microphone equipment, the catering. They're all subsidiary things on event management. But okay, catering is a line item, looks very bizarre to me. But anyway, I've made one point there before.
Can you respond and so I should be able to conclude?
Thank you, Jefferson. We have found quite a lot of challenges, but very good suggestions, especially the last point that you made, that could really be misunderstood. Certainly, we appreciate that. On the question of the website, I think the CEO will possibly respond to that, because I was following it and I thought it was handling up very well. I know there was a technical glitch with the annual report. I think that will be responded to in due course. But I think it's something that without the website, I think we are not known. So it's something very, very, very serious. We take treat it in a most serious manner. And then let me just, Jefferson, say, I think there is persecution and persecution. To me, it might not appear as persecution, but when the person who feels that way says so, we cannot say, you can't say you are being persecuted. And the persecution is as prejudicial. They look at you, they see your hair, they see the hair, and so forth, and this is what happens. They start searching them and so forth. Thirdly, I think the responses we have received, because we fielded a lot of questions in the air about the Rastafarians. With that, some people even went so far, and this was someone very well known in Soweto, who said very little time is being given to this debate about the Rastafarians in the air, because people don't understand and they want to understand and they learn a lot about it. I think it's in the question of, we need just to remember, just as the same thing about dress code, that social question is about tapestry. And tapestry is about bringing in very different things to weave together without cancelling them out. And so I just thought, what I appreciate that in South Africa to use the word persecution seems to be an overstatement. And I agree with that, because that time has passed. But I think we also need to hear what the people are saying. And this is a quotation that we've been given. On the question of on the miniskirt, Jefferson, we also have the Commission on Gender Equality that speaks on this, but it is a residue, a remnant, indeed, if I may use a word, Jefferson, of the past that come up to haunt us, where we despise and represent. It's very, very complicated. Maybe we need to talk to the leadership of the people of the Texas, because what happens is people who are oppressed tend to oppress those that are less stronger than they are. This is all it known. And so you will find that this kind of thing really needs to be
spoken of. You will find a person, if I may say, a black man who's destitute is not ashamed to carry a basket following, if I may use racial terms, because that's where we come from, following a white woman to buy something. But the same person will come home and have no discussion with his wife, because it's a question of economics here. And so the point that has come up to us is this something that we need to deal with as the CRL and to attend to it. And if the portfolio committee says, get into this thing, then at least we need to go to CGE, we need to work with human rights and say, how do we deal with this thing together? Because I may just use an example and an analogy. If you work on your own, a person, in very serious matters that are cutting across, you lose. I'm just thinking, for instance, of Marikana. That if Marikana had been attended by all church leaders, you have a different ball game rather than just one person. So I'm saying, what you are saying to us is to say, how do you partner, get involved with those who are already involved with what is already happening? I think a person, this is as far as I can go, and I'm sure the others will respond to the
applications. If maybe there are no any further responses, I would like to thank the commission. At least today we managed to give much attention to yourself and fruitful interactions between ourselves, and maybe to understand more of the work that you've been doing all along. Hoping we, as you've mentioned in your introductory remarks, Chairperson, that at your strategic plan you made mention that you strengthen and be more frequent having interactions with the committee, and we'll definitely do the same. But also I think we would like you to, as much as we've extended invitations to the President and to the Minister, could you please double check the date? Maybe we've been able to change in time, because when it coincides with the opening of Parliament, both of them, the President, if you want to, or the Minister, won't be available, as far as ourselves won't be available in that conference. I'm talking the same. I'm also on the John.
Madam Chair, with respect, I have two questions that I've asked now twice that haven't been answered.
What are those
questions? One was, what was the concrete action on the ground with the Islamophobia incidents in the Northwest? And my second one was, the annual report addresses human resources constraints, and I wanted to get indication of what further human resources are required by the department in order to meet the targets and do the work that they set for themselves.
But you must bear in mind that here we are talking about 2010-11 and 2011-12 annual report, which speaks to the previous and the presentation during the time they said they've increased the capacity on human resources. But I won't respond for that. You can respond to those two questions.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. The issue of
Islamophobia.
Yes, I think I'm not sure whether the Honourable Member is thinking about the gentleman that was killed because of his beard. That's the one. The Commission actually came on board, and we even issued a media statement. I have actually requested Communicating and Marketing Office to open a file in that regard. We have it on our website also, condemning that bit of a barbaric attack. The Commission worked on that. And then on the issue of not only the issue of the statement, but we also requested the file to be opened so that a follow-up can be made. But I don't have an exact report, a report to say this is what we have done besides the opening of the file and the issue of the statement. Actually, the chairperson was highly involved in that case. The chairperson himself was involved. So, and the issue of the staff, how many people do we need in order to reach our target? When we suggested, when we proposed 51 million rands, that was to say that with 51 million rands, we will be able to reach our targets. That in itself includes human resources. until such time that the Commission is able to have regional offices in Whittlesea, in Eastern Cape, we won't be in a position to can say that we will be able to serve each and every person at the little corner of South Africa. But we are trying to do that. So to say how many, it would be difficult for me to say how many. Until such time we are able to move, and then I agree that we need to have regional offices. Maybe with what we proposed initially, or with the first 51 million was that, at least you said we can have a regional office with five people in that office. Five people, the provincial manager, the two assistants, the admin or the admin person, and the receptionist. So that's what we proposed, that if then we can get extra funding, we can be able to do that. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Chairperson, just also to add on the xenophobic debate is that it was also on the air in which CRL featured and other people from the Muslim religion. And we featured on a debate whether we should actually legislate against, it was something, I think it was about blasphemy, but also on this freedom of religion and so forth. So we featured on that quite prominently. But unfortunately, this cannot be heard by everybody. So just to add on what the CEO had already said, but we did express our outrage at what happened.
Just
to
add
on
that, it's a loss, and I know we're anxious to go, but you know, yeah. Part of the Commission's mandate is, and I read from the document, facilitate the resolution of conflicts between individual groups and communities. Now, with respect, issuing a media statement does not resolve conflict with the community. Opening a file does not resolve conflict with the community. And the reason I ask this is because I think this is a particular issue where there was a religious and cultural case of persecution and murder of somebody based on their religion. And for me, it would be a prime example for an opportunity for the Commission to step in and fulfill the mandate in terms of the Constitution. What I'm hearing is we've opened files and we've issued press statements and we've been on TV, but I'm still not seeing what concrete conflict resolution on the ground between those communities in the Northwest, that, you know, where the genesis of that was, is being done. And that, you know, it speaks to the point I made at the beginning.
Jefferson, I think we do appreciate the concern, but I think we're faced with a situation where here is a criminal case that is being handled by police. That's the first point. Secondly, when do we stop generalizing? Two young people go and they go and kill somebody. We call the whole community as if that community has done it. Are we not going back to those times when we used to stereotype people? When do you intervene in such a way that you don't increase the problem, but you decrease it? This is a criminal matter. This was done by two people who were, or two or three people who were out of order, and I wouldn't go so far to say even got them from the parents, because that would also be stereotyping people. So I think, the person, with respect, I would just like to say this was a criminal matter, and there are times when you try not to make it appear as if it's a general thing that just happened.
Yeah, the signature was issued, and I think we must. Now, thanks for coming in. Thanks for the interaction. The meeting is before we attend the meeting, remember to receive this kind of a tablet,
yeah,
which is sort of an invitation that we found so the agenda so interesting, which maybe covers the work and the mandate and the scope of what we're doing. So I ask Sherin to ask for quotations whether we as a committee can go and attend this workshop. Then we'll get if feedback or you receive on how successful our application is, whether we go or we are not, but so interesting for us maybe to hear some other academic people interpreting our laws that we are working with. That's Honourable Member, thanks, Chairperson, your Deputy Chair, CEO, to say all the meetings are there.